For the last text of this year, I thought I would look for a text that would be a comforting invitation. And it's the last few verses, they are the last few verses in chapter 11 of Matthew, verses 28, 29, and 30. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me. If you remember the reading at the beginning, it's a chapter of great contrast. Here at the close of the chapter, we have one of the most comforting and comfortable invitations by our Saviour to come to himself. Yet in the chapter itself, it's a chapter full of severe warnings. And the warnings of God against those cities and those places that have had so many mighty works done in them. And they are named, places where that have been singled out especially for great works. Yet the sum total of their response was, they repented not. They did not come to God. It did not affect them. And the warning there is that it will be more tolerable for the very wicked cities that we know of and their dreadful sins in the Old Testament, such as Sodom and Gomorrah, that it will be more tolerable for those cities in the Day of Judgment than for those who may not be so openly wicked as those cities, and yet who have spurned far greater opportunities and have turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those are very sobering words that we read there in this particular chapter. There was no welcome for him. In Luke, we are told, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. That is the response that they had, and that was how they were to respond to it. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Then we are given a glimpse of the authority of Jesus Christ. Middle of all that, he breaks into prayer. And it's a very beautiful, remarkable way how he does this in the verses just before. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He then gives an overall picture, where sometimes you'd have great expectations from those who had much understanding, were offered much, and yet it was not those people that turned, but those who seemed to have so little who were like babes who did turn. And he said, well, that's how it is, and that is so, and it seems right in his sight. And then after having said that, I thank thee, O Father. We are given then something of the authority of Jesus in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Striking words, aren't they? He says, all things are in my hands. Everything is in my hands. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Father knows me. Neither knoweth any man the Father. No one really knows the Father. The one who knows the Father is myself, the Son. And also, whosoever I will call upon, whosoever to whom I will reveal myself to. Listen to it again. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal, to whom the Son will reveal. Power is vested in him. Then after having prayed like that, he then, as if he took his attention away from the prayer and addressing his father, and addresses the people around him. And verses that are so familiar to us and words that are so close to our hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I see there a declaration of grace. The grace of Christ, the grace of God. Come unto me. I see there the direction of mercy. It teaches us, learn of me. And then also there, the destination of glory. For you shall find rest unto your souls. That's the direction that I'd like to go tonight. The first and the declaration of grace. It is an invitation. An invitation always pleases. You know, if you have an invitation to a wedding, you say, oh, that's very nice, and you probably will respond and reply and say it's that you are coming or unable to come, as the case may be. And if you are not invited and you don't get, if you're not invited and you had thought you were going to get an invitation, you probably will cover it up by saying, well, I didn't want to go anyway. You know, or something like that, but just a little bit of disappointment in one's heart in regard to it. But an invitation is something quite special. It means that person wants you. That person wants you for this occasion in their lives. We usually think of invitations as thinking of weddings. It isn't always a wedding, but whatever it may be, that it is a desire of that family that you should be with them in this particular happy time in their lives. And you may feel a little sad if you have to say, well, they didn't invite me. Or we put it usually like this, they didn't even invite me. The Lord Jesus Christ here is inviting. It is he who is inviting. Now, let's look at the verse and just take it word by word. Come unto me. So we're looking at the invitation. So who's it from? It's from the eternal Son of God. When you think of it, can there be anything greater and more wonderful than that? Many of us would say, well, I wouldn't go even if I was invited to something very big and very important. But when the invitation comes, it is something quite different, and you feel, well, they have invited me, and that is rather wonderful and exciting. And when it is the Son of God, really, from the depths of eternity, and eventually that invitation arriving in our lives and in our hearts, and in our time, and the time in our lives that comes, I heard the voice of Jesus. It is important to remember regarding the receiving of this invitation. If you remember the word that is said here, and to whom the Son will reveal him. That with this invitation, there is an invitation going out all the time. But people are oblivious of the invitation. They hear and they don't hear. They see and they don't see. They understand and they don't understand. But then every now and again, he gives a revelation with it. And the invitation takes on a reality. And we begin to realize, I am invited to this place. And this is an invitation ultimately to glory. Ultimately. It is an invitation to himself. And he himself is the door to heaven and the door to glory. So the invitation ultimately is there. And the word he uses is, come. Come unto me. Not come to angel so-and-so or archangel this, that, or the other, but come unto me. The invitation is personal, and the invitation is to the Son of God. Now, this word come is a very powerful one. I'll give you an illustration from the scripture when it told him that Lazarus had died, and Jesus wept. And then when he came to where he was in the grave or the cave that he was kept in, then he cried out with a voice and he said, come out. And we have a miracle there, don't we? Where a man came from the dead and heard the voice of Jesus. Now those kind of miracles surely are particular to the great ability and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the invitation is the same. In a sense, we can say we are dead too. We are not like dead bodies exactly, but we can be dead towards God. Because we are so alive to the things of this life and alive to ourselves and our feelings and so on, that we fail to hear the voice of Jesus say, come. And yet, time and time again, this voice says, come unto me. But that word come is not just come. In it there is all this. It is powerfully implied here, apparently, that this word come could also be interpreted in this way, rather than translated, interpreted in this way. Put your faith in me. Come to a knowledge of me. Let your soul give a sense toward me and in me. Let your heart have confidence in me. It's all there. Come, believe. Come, be confident. Come, give your assent. Come, let your eyes be opened and see that you have new knowledge in the revelation of Jesus Christ to you. So it is a powerful come. How powerful must that come have been to Lazarus, who there was in the grave and had been there for some time, and no one had hardly think that it was any worthwhile speaking to him. What a powerful cry it must have been, and what penetration it must have been to be able to say to him, come, and he came. And to a soul as well that is enlightened, come unto me. Who are the ones that are invited? They are the weary, those who labor, who are weary, and who are heavy laden. Well, exactly what do we mean by that? We'll go to another verse here in Matthew 23 and verse 4. I'll read it to you. The religious feeling of the day, what the Pharisees did to people, for they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. It's like that. He's speaking to the ordinary people here. And if he should ask them, how do you think you're going to come to God ultimately? And they would say, well, the Pharisees tell us that we have to obey this law and that law, and we have to have this observance and that observance. And then this is complicated by a few additions in brackets, and brackets within the brackets, and brackets outside the brackets. And so it is so involved. But they tell us and they teach us. And then they're ever having some new interpretation and some new addition, until really, as ordinary people, we feel so confused by it all. And it's like a heavy weight. It's a heavy weight upon us, and it weighs heavily upon our hearts and our souls. And we are like those who labor and are weary and heavy laden. Yet we struggle on. We go to the synagogue and we listen to the readings. We struggle on and we listen to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And sometimes we listen to their arguments and we don't understand what they're arguing about. It all seems to be so involved. Yet surely Jehovah lives. And then comes a voice and says, yes, I know you are heavy laden. I know that your burden is heavy. It's very much like, you know, as we have in Romans 8:15, the spirit of bondage and fear. Not we haven't got to go back to Jerusalem or to the people, the Lord's people at that time, but to our own age and generation. Well, how could we describe the condition of men and women today? Well, if they take any interest in religion at all, it is a very complicated thing of interpretation and counter-interpretation. And doubting this and doubting that, and a gloss here and a gloss there, until you wonder really how many of the words in this chapter are really there. This one's out and that one's out and that one's in. This one means that and this one's written by somebody else. And so we have this vast multitude of description. And then they say, well, meanwhile, do your best and try hard to please God and keep the standard and give an endless, well, instructions in that form. That kind, and none of them bring any peace. For if you ask those who are not invited by Christ in this way, and yet who are under a heavy burden of religion, if you ask them, now tell me, with that burden that you have, tell me, what does it give you? And all they'd be able to say, what Romans says, the spirit of bondage and of fear. Are you able to say that you're saved? Are you able to say that you're going to glory? And they say rather pathetically, but we hope so. We're doing our best. We're doing all we can. We're very much like the people here in the time that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking And he's saying, come to them, and you are heavy laden and you're weary, and I can see that it is also very tiresome and tedious to you. And at the end of it all, you're only filled with uncertainties. When you think now of our own land, where there has been so much preaching and so many revivals, and all that seems to have gone, and a generation of doubters came along, preaching this and preaching that. We know these things to be true. And maybe many of us have been part of that sometime or another. It was like a burden, a weary and heavy to bear, only bringing ifs and uncertainties, and not very sure where we stood in the sight of God. And yet we struggled on, thinking salvation was by works. We struggled on, being kind, doing good, and yet dragged down by our own sin at the same time. He invites us and such people, come unto me. Who? Well, yourselves, those who labor and are weary and are heavy laden, or try to find God this way and try to find God another way, tried this denomination, tried another, tried all sorts of things and cults, whatever they may be, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is an invitation of grace. It is a declaration of mercy from God. Then let us go a little further, a direction given here of mercy. Learn of me. I'm leaving out the phrase, I will give you rest, for a moment. I'll come to it at the end. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And then a phrase again, which I can link with that in 28, and it shall find rest unto your souls. So what I'm looking at now is, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. What does yoke mean? In Jewish literature, a yoke meant the sum total of an obligation. When you're speaking rather in a figurative way regarding it, it was a sum total of a person's obligation. So if the Pharisee said, now take the law of God, then it was a sum total of their obligation to that law. Whatever it may be, it was the obligation of that. It was a yoke laid upon the people. And so if the yoke laid upon us here tonight would be this, God expects from us, in our own strength, in our own merit, perfection. The honoring of the law of God, to love him with all our hearts, soul, mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and the expectation should be to do that all the days of your life, and to do it with perfection, and to say, come here one by one, as I put the sum total of that obligation upon you. And you say, the yoke is heavy. It is more than I can bear. I do not know how to carry such a burden. Well, that is what will come to their minds there. Who is speaking is Jesus Christ. Come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. There now is a picture of our Savior. We think sometimes of Christ in majesty, Christ in glory, Christ with all his glorious attributes. But here is one, a reminder, I am kind. The loving kindness of our God. For I am meek and lowly in hearts. It's a beautiful thing to say. How wonderful it would be when those who are putting great authority in the things of the religious life, the Christian religious life, if it would be true about them that we'd say they are meek and lowly in heart. But that is a picture of our Savior. This is how I want you to see me, he said. I'm giving you an invitation of mercy. I am asking you to learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Then he describes the offer. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's a picture. Well, what is a yoke in its literal sense? It is a wooden frame placed on the shoulder in order to distribute the weight of what you're carrying evenly. So if it's 100 weights, this wooden frame would be put to my shoulders, and then balancing the 100 weight, whatever it was, so it wouldn't be one-sided, but to be distributed evenly and reasonably, I'd be able to do it, although it would be heavy. So he's speaking to people who already have a yoke, and their yoke is heavy, is to please God in their own strength, is to keep all the details of the law, is like a ton weight, maybe evenly distributed, but wearing them almost to the ground. And after having said all, uncertain of everlasting life. It was a heavy burden, and they labored under that burden. So he says, come unto me. Come unto me. And he has to say to them, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So there is a comparison there. Look at yourselves. You're endeavoring to reach heaven by your own strength and by your own effort. And endlessly the Pharisees are putting a little extra onto that which is placed on the yoke that you have. The sum total of your obligation and responsibility. And it's getting heavier and heavier till you're always worn to the ground. Have you any comfort in it? No, nothing at all. Only bondage and fear. That's all we have out of it. And he said, but listen to me, he says, I am the Son of God. I am lowly and meek in heart. Come unto me for my yoke. My yoke is very different. Do you realize, he's saying to them, that you're carrying a dangerous load? It'll wear you to the ground and take you directly to hell. You cannot carry it and survive. It is a dangerous load. You know, sometimes we see when we're driving in our cars on the motorways and so on, and we come across some of these very large lorries or various descriptions of them, and those that contain dangerous liquid or a dangerous load. You want to get out of its way as quickly as you can, if it's possible to pass, in order to get way out of its way, because if there should be an accident, that person is carrying a dangerous load. And we are very aware of that danger. And he's telling us here, do you realize that that heavy load you're carrying is a danger to your soul? It is a danger to your person. You're carrying a dangerous load that will only mean disaster in the end. Come unto me. Come unto me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How is he able to say that? Well, I looked at it and I thought, well, how can I look at that? The way that I saw it was in this way. He looks upon you or myself, and he says, you're carrying a heavy load. Yes, Lord, it's killing me. Yes, and it will kill you. He says, come to me. What shall I do with this load? This heavy, heavy load, and this heavy yoke that I have. Give it me. Give it me. And he takes all the burden of our heaviness, of our sinfulness, and our unworthiness. And he takes it to a place called Calvary. And he pays all that is required there. In his life, he meets all the obligations of the law of God. And in his death, he meets all the requirements of the penalty of death for the failure. That is, he does something to that burden. He fulfills what men and women cannot fulfill, the law of God. And he takes their failure and is punished in their place. So in a sense, he takes our burden away and he places his yoke. Just a moment, he says, come here, let me place this little structure on your back. Have you put anything, Lord? Yes, I tell you what I have put there. I have put a law fulfilled. Who fulfilled it? I did. It lights. Yes. And easy. Kind. Yes, kind too. Is all the law fulfilled there? Yes. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and your neighbor as yourself. I've done it for you. So it lights. But Lord, what about the mess I made? What about the failure? I've taken it away. It weighs you down no more. Who paid the penalty? I did.
Why did you do that? That your burden might be light? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. There is that intimate moment in the spiritual history of a person seeking God and seeking peace with God when they come to the Son of God, and at last the invitation breaks upon the silence of their soul and they hear the voice of Jesus. I cannot exactly describe how it is heard, but we do hear, and there is a voice and there is a response to a grace that cannot be resisted, and we say, I am coming, Lord, and I am coming to thee. And we come to him and we take upon ourselves his yoke. Where will it take us? How far will we go? All the way, the destination of glory. The Son of God, believing in the Son of God, believing in his person, in the glory of his person, in his perfect manhood, humanity, in his glorious divinity, believing in him, believing in his sinless life, believing in his atoning death, without knowledge, and that response in our heart that there was a time in our lives when we came to him and realized his yoke bears no weight and was light, as light. And I will give you rest, peace of mind, peace of hearts, peace of God. How many this year have come there, I wonder? Some have. To that place where they discovered from responding to that invitation, where with the mind we understand, the enlightened understanding, where with the heart and the emotions we respond, and with our will we decide. And we come. It's not just a matter of the will. It's our total being. My mind, my heart, my will. I come and we come to him. He gives us rest. Rest here in this life, where there is a peace above the understanding of this world. A peace that God gives. Even in this life. Peace of heart, peace of mind, and peace with God. And then he goes on to say, ye shall find rest unto your souls. What is death to us? It is merely really a continuation of what has happened. He has said, come unto me. Well, who are we? We are his people then. And there comes a time individually for each one where he draws near to us and walks alongside for a while. He says, now come. Come where, Lord? Well, come home. Come home to me. Am I able to come? Well, yes, you are. Because you responded to me, and I gave you rest in your heart and in your soul. I took that heavy yoke away from you, and I gave my own, and you knew it was light, and it was kindly. You know that to be so, and I have been with you all the days of your life, but now I am with you in that very special way. I am bringing an invitation. What is this invitation, Lord? It is an invitation to glory, and you can have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The ultimate come is come home. That changes death. Death is always a serious matter. It can never, never be taken lightly. It is always a serious thing. It is a tragedy for an unbeliever and a horrendous experience. It is the end of living as far as they are concerned, and worse to come. But for the believer, it's a step. It's opening a door. It's holding a hand. It's opening our eyes. It's taking the first breath of eternity. It's an entrance and a welcome. And we are told in the scripture that God himself shall be there. Just as we enter, there'll be no having to wait. I wonder if he'll be there. I wonder if he'll welcome me. He'll be there. And he'll wipe away all the tears of this life. And all those things that weigh so heavily upon me. And will show me over again that he has rest for my soul. That's the invitation. Maybe somebody tonight, before this year goes out, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Art thou weary, art thou languid, art thou sore distressed? Come to me, saith one, and coming, be at rest. Hath he marks to lead me to him, if he be my guide? In his feet and hands are wound prints and his side. Hath he diadem as monarch that his brow adorns? Yes, a crown in very surety, but of thorns. If I find him, if I follow, what is guerdon here? Many a sorrow, many a labor, many a tear. If I still hold closely to him, what hath he at last? Sorrow vanquished, labor ended, Jordan passed. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. Finding, following, keeping, struggling, is he sure to bless? Saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, answer yes. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, may there be a yes from our hearts, that we too might be amongst that heavenly throng who have answered yes to thee. O Lord, yes in our minds, yes in our hearts, yes with our will, yes with our total being. O Father, we worship thee and ask thee to bless every one of us this night for this service. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.